Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about some details from Tesla's 10Q quarterly filing with the SEC. Obviously, we've talked about earnings, we've talked about the earnings call. The 10Q filing always tends to have a little bit more information. There's always some hidden details in there. So I do want to spend a little bit of time going through some of those topics that I find interesting. One of those being the CEO Performance Award that you can see up here. So before we even get into that, just a heads up, I am actually traveling today. This is recorded in advance, and I'll be traveling tomorrow as well, so Thursday and Friday. We'll do this today, and then Friday we're going to have the long overdue part two of the James Dauma interview, and then we'll get back to any news on Monday. So if there is any news that's happening right now, I promise to cover that back as soon as I get back on Monday. So that being said, let's dive into some of the details here. This is the just overview of the CEO performance plan. This is nothing new. People have probably seen this already. Not anything to do with the 10Q here, but just as a quick refresher, how Elon Musk's compensation plan works is that there are these 12 tranches that get vested as different milestones are achieved. They're split into two sections, both market cap milestones and then operational milestones. So on the top half here, we've got the market cap milestones. You can see that those peak at about $650 billion, or exactly 650. So I think all of those have been achieved. Essentially, Tesla's knocked that out. What they're still working on are these operational milestones. So you can see that there are 16 of them down here, half of them being revenue, half of them being EBITDA. So if we flip over here, I'm going to first pull up the Q1 10Q, so Tesla's quarterly first quarter filing, and just show how those operational milestones were coming along at that point. You can see Tesla had fully achieved 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these and marked another two of them as being probable. For full recognition, Elon needs to get to 12. Out of these 16 here. So if we flip over then to Q2, we can see another one of these has been marked probable. When that happens, Tesla recognizes a lot of stock-based compensation because they think that that milestone is going to be achieved. So that then gets pulled into the, you know, the net income statement, profit and loss, under stock-based compensation, which actually does go in operating expenses, as we've talked about through SG&A. So we'll come back to that point in a second here, hopefully. Hopefully I don't forget. But the point here is that if we look at the milestones, Tesla's got, you know, they need to do three more of these essentially at this point for Elon to fully recognize his compensation package. What that means is that there's only $500 million that needs to be recognized in this entire plan left out of the $2.3 billion. So the point when I talk about the compensation for Elon isn't that it should be ignored. The point is just that it's been heavily isolated into a relatively short period of time. And over the next few quarters, because there is only $500 million left in the entire package, the average quarterly recognition is going to come pretty significantly down. So if we look at how this plan has been recognized so far, anything in blue here, this is what's actually been recognized. And then you can see up top here, we've just got that little bit of remainder, that $500 million. So you can see that already in 2021, just in the first two quarters here, Tesla's basically recognized almost exactly what is left in the entire plan. And last year, you can see the stock-based compensation was at about $1.1 billion. So as we look ahead, second half of this year and probably next year, it's probably going to take Tesla quite some time still to be able to recognize those additional three milestones that they need. If we flip back to what those actually are, they're going to get the EBITDA ones pretty quickly here. The last one that they just hit was $10 billion in annualized adjusted EBITDA. Tesla in Q2 was at $2.5 billion, so you know, pretty much tracking right to that $10 billion level. But they just need to bump that up a little bit to get 12 and then $14 billion on an annualized basis. So Tesla should be able to do those pretty quickly. What's going to give them trouble, though, is the, not trouble, but will take a little bit longer, is this $75 billion in annualized revenue that they need to get to. That'll be the 12th tranche that they need to hit, or the 12th operational milestone that'll unlock the 12th tranche for full recognition. Tesla's probably not going to get there, certainly not this year. It'll be sometime, you know, probably in the second half of next year, maybe 2023, where they actually mark that probable and then fully achieved. So there's at least six quarters left, I'm guessing, you know, 5 to 6 quarters, kind of at the minimum, versus again, this year so far, we've already had almost that amount recognized in just two quarters. So the actual expense per quarter is going to go way down as this balance here just takes a little bit more time to recognize. What that means is, as I mentioned before, from an operational expenses perspective, all of this has been put into Tesla's SG&A line over the last, you know, we got a huge chunk here in 2020 and 2021, and that's really driven SG&A up as that plan has been recognized. So just looking at some math on that, if we brought the compensation recognition down to just kind of a normal level and we just redistributed this over, you know, the actual period of time that it is going to need to be recognized over, so let's say to the end of next year, if we just normalize for that, that would have actually brought Tesla's operating margin over the last 12 months from 7.8% up to 9.0%. So it actually has a pretty significant impact on operating income, operating margin, and how strong Tesla's financials look. That same logic applies to the GAAP net earnings too. The difference between non-GAAP and GAAP earnings for Tesla is just entirely that stock-based compensation, which Elon Musk's plan is a huge, huge portion of. So over the last 12 months, just a final point on that, the stock-based compensation here for Elon, just Elon, has been 3% of sales. Over the next 12 months, it should be less than 1% of sales. So we're going to see that really come through and just continue to build on top of the already building up operating leverage and operating margin that Tesla's demonstrating. So hopefully that gives you guys a clear picture of kind of where things are at with the CEO compensation plan. I know a lot of people, when I bring up this point, just say, oh, well, won't there just be a new CEO compensation plan and then those expenses will start hitting? Possibly. I think that's a great outcome, though, for Tesla shareholders. We've seen this plan that was put into place when Tesla had a market cap of around $50 billion grow the market cap, you know, 12x or whatever it has been since it was implemented. So if there is a new CEO plan, the last two have been really aligned with shareholder interests in terms of growing the business, growing the market cap, and growing the share price. And investors have been rewarded right alongside Elon for that progress. So if there is another CEO compensation plan, which I hope there is, then, you know, I would expect it to be building Tesla into a multi-trillion dollar organization. That would be kind of like how it would be structured, I would guess. So if they do that, that's a good thing. Yes, there would be more CEO expenses then in the future, but only if shareholders also succeed in their ownership. So it's really well aligned, and that's, I think, why this plan has worked a lot. It's a lot of money for Elon, but a lot of money for shareholders as well has obviously been earned. All right, so moving on from the CEO compensation plan, the next point that I want to get into here is just something that I kind of look at each quarter. These are the breakdowns between, these are one of my favorite sections of the 10Q. It kind of breaks down revenues and why revenues changed, and then also costs and why costs changed quarter over quarter. So one of the things that I've been curious about is just energy gross margins. We definitely saw those dip significantly in Q1 down to negative 20%. Then we saw Tesla raise solar roof prices significantly after that. So about energy gross margin, Tesla says these increases, and this is about the cost of energy and storage, energy, solar, and storage. Then the important part here, pointing this out on Twitter earlier this week, although our average cost per unit of solar roof improved compared to the prior period, they still remain significant and contribute disproportionately to our costs of energy storage, energy generation, and storage revenue. So what that means is that the solar roof is likely still a negative margin product. So it's contributing disproportionately to the costs. Tesla barely broke even on the total energy business in Q1. So putting those two statements together, you can pretty much see that the solar roof is a negative margin product at this point. But the important thing is that they are improving on their costs. And obviously Tesla did raise the prices too of solar roof to help offset those losses. Okay, so next point here, this is just on deferred revenue. So this is another one that I just like to quick take a look at when we get the 10Q. Total deferred revenue right now, so this has to do with a lot of different areas. The primary driver of the deferred revenue is obviously full self-driving. Tesla can't recognize all of that until they delivered all the features that were promised. So right now, Tesla's got $2.3 billion in deferred revenue sitting on their books. That's revenue and a lot of high margin revenue that's just sitting there that Tesla can't actually show in their financials right now, that, you know, really I think is underrated in terms of when we are discussing the finances, how big of an impact those have, because that can really drive up, you know, Tesla's operating income over the last, let me just even pull it up here. Their operating income over the last four quarters has been, you know, $3.3 billion, and they've got $2 billion here, $2.1 billion just sitting on their books in pretty much high margin revenue that eventually is going to be recognized. So anyway, the deferred revenue, $2.1 billion. Once Tesla actually delivers the City Streets feature, they'll be able to release a lot of that, not all of it, and it'll also improve their margins going forward is kind of the main point there. So they say here that over the next 12 months, they do expect to recognize $1.3 billion of that revenue just as they deliver new features. So that kind of shows us, you know, it's not all going to happen when they release City Streets. I would assume that Tesla's planning to do that in the next 12 months. Maybe not worldwide, so maybe that's a part of it too, is just like the international split of what they can recognize. But some of that, they need to continue to provide the service, so there's always going to be a little bit of deferred revenue from things like the supercharger network and full self-driving. Even a business like Apple, they have deferred revenue on their products too. They also did note that they have some deferred regulatory credit revenue. So those were down a little bit. Regulatory credit sales were down a little bit this quarter. And Tesla had $42 million in deferred regulatory credit sales. So we've seen this from Tesla in the past. Basically, they've earned those credits, but they can't recognize them until the other counterparty is putting it on their income statement. So Tesla just saying, okay, we've got $42 million there that will be recognized eventually. So kind of good to know that. The next point here, this was actually raised by a kind Twitter listener pointing out that I had missed a super chat, which sometimes I do that, and I do super apologize for that. Ugh. Super apologize for missing a super chat. Sorry about that one. But the person was asking, where does supercharger revenue fall on Tesla's income statement? The answer to that, and the answer to that falls just kind of in that revenue and cost section that I was talking about before. I probably would have guessed services and others if someone had asked me this question or if I had seen it live, but it does actually fall in the automotive revenue, automotive sales section. So you can see Tesla breaking it down here. There's revenues, automotive and services, and others. It says automotive sales revenue includes access to our supercharger network. And then this here down here is the services and other section, which doesn't make any mention of supercharger. And if we look at costs, same thing there. Costs are going to always fall into the same buckets as the revenue does. So on the cost side, they're saying cost of automotive sales includes allocations of electricity and infrastructure costs related to our supercharger network. And again, no mention of superchargers in the service and other costs. So I found that pretty interesting. I wanted to make sure that I responded to that supercharger question, and hopefully some of you guys found that interesting. The other thing I would say just about that question in general, if you do have a question like that, a great way to just find the answer is open up the 10Q. You know, these things are like 100 pages long, but if you read a few of them, you can kind of isolate in on the sections that are interesting, and you can just come in and do a search for whatever topic you're looking for. That's how I found this super quickly, is just going in and, you know, doing a search for supercharger. So any questions like that, definitely, I mean, feel free to ask me, but if you want to take a look for yourself, the 10Qs are actually pretty helpful. Okay, last thing here, I just want to talk quickly about debt. So Tesla mentioned paying off, I think they mentioned $1.6 billion in the shareholder letter. Here's just kind of a breakdown of a big chunk of that. So you can see in the recourse debt section, so recourse debt means that basically the loaning party has the ability to take recourse and actually go after assets that are not necessarily collateral within the loan. Non-recourse is limited to just the collateral within the loan. So just not really all that important of a difference for Tesla at this point in time. But in terms of recourse debt, so they paid down a little bit of this just across these various notes. And they also eliminated some non-recourse debt, primarily here through some of their China loan agreements, which it looks like they paid off in their entirety last quarter. So this is just the change. Sorry, I should have said this. This is just Q1 debt levels, Q2 debt levels, and then the change between the two. So one thing I did want to kind of key in on here, we talked a little bit earlier, I think last week, about these 2025 notes. This is a huge chunk of Tesla's recourse debt. It's almost half of it. At a 5.3% interest rate. So you can see how those rates compare to all these other ones. It's definitely among the higher interest rates that they have. Tesla does say here in the 10Q, they do confirm that in mid-July they did notify note holders that they do plan to redeem those in full in August. So when we come back to this in Q3, this debt is going to be completely eliminated here. Tesla's recourse debt will move down to, you know, around $2.2 billion, depending on what happens with the rest of their lines there. But Tesla just pretty significantly and aggressively reducing their debt load. I think it's maybe about half of what it was last year. I don't have the number up right now. But they continue to just aggressively reduce this debt. Long overdue for a credit rating, in my opinion. Way more cash on hand than they do have debt, and they continue to retire it. And most of their debt, you know, falls into this non-recourse bucket, especially once this is redeemed. So I think those are the big things from the 10Q. And again, this was recorded a little bit early. I am traveling, so make sure tomorrow to check out the interview episode that I'll post. Again, that's a little bit dated at this point, but I think a lot of the conversation is still relevant. And then I'll be back on Monday to talk about any news that happens. And of course, you know, watch my Twitter feed too, if there's anything super crazy that happens. But that is it for today then. So as always, thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and sign up for notifications over on Twitter @TeslaPodcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for that interview for I've got to do a couple days here, the July 30th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.